We're doing the book of Ezra, and we had discussed how in the kingdom of Koresh, remember, Darius the Mede took over the Babylonian Empire. His empire lasted 1 year, and then he died at war. His son-in-law, Koresh, the Persian, Koresh Aparsi, took over the throne. And in his reign is when the 70 years were up, that Hashem said, 70 years from when Babylon came to power, I will call you back. And so Koresh gave license to the Jews to go and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And he supported them with gold and silver, and he said everyone should support them. And we had discussed the number, the people that had ascended, and the leaders that went, including Mordechai, including Nehemiah. And now we're continuing in what they call the third chapter. And Vayiga Chodesh HaShvi, the seventh month came, so they settled down in Israel, and Rosh Hashanah comes. The seventh month is the month of Tishrei. Uvnei Yisrael Be'arim, the Jews are living in different cities. Ve'esfo Amki Shechad El Yerushalayim, so everyone gathers to Jerusalem, Rosh Hashanah. Ve'yakom Yoshua Ben Yotzadak Ve'chav HaKohanim. So our Kohen Gadol is Yoshua Ben Yotzadak. Yoshua himself has two sons married to non-Jewish women, and he is the Kohen Gadol. And Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel, who is the prince, he's the leader of the Jews, Ve'echam and his brothers, Ve'ivnu et Mizbach Elohei Yisrael. They first build an altar. They build an altar in honor of Rosh Hashanah, in honor of the holidays. La'alot alav olot ka'ketuv Torat Moshe she'Elohim. They will bring sacrifices, as it says in the Torah. Ve'echinu ha'mizbeach al mechonotav. Now, what he doesn't tell us here, but we have in Zechariah, is that they also had three prophets with them. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, because the assembly of a Mizbeach has to be done based on a prophet. The prophet has to delineate what area exactly the Mizbeach is going to be on. That's one of the hindrances we have today to rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. We need a prophet to tell us exactly where the Mizbeach is supposed to be. So Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi are present, our final three prophets, and they build the Mizbeach. And kibeima aleihem amei haratzot. Why were they doing it this way? Only building an altar? Because they were scared. The neighboring nations were threatening, and they were very scared. And we'll see that their fears were well founded, because the nations will attack. Vayal alav olot ladonai olot laboker velaarev. So they've erected an altar, and they're quietly starting to bring sacrifices every morning and every evening. Now they have an altar, and they celebrate Sukkot. And on Sukkot, they bring the sacrifices of each day. And they bring the sacrifices of the days and the Rosh Chodesh, and they don't build the Beit HaMikdash. They have curtains, no Beit HaMikdash. And they start bringing food, and they start bringing the wares in order to build a Beit HaMikdash. They start shipping in wood from the north, from Sidon, from Lebanon. Koresh has given them license to build the Beit HaMikdash, and they wait a whole year till they start building. They're ready to start building, and the next year, the following year, the Levites play music, and then Yoshua, the Kohen Gadol, and the leaders of Yehuda, they come in, and they make a celebration for the inauguration, for the starting of the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And their enemies hear that they're starting to build the Beit HaMikdash. I think we discussed the pasuk here, that people were crying, and people were celebrating. So the enemies came, and they said to Zerubbabel, "We want to build with you. Let us seek out God together with you. We did all this. So where are we up to?"
We're back in Persia.
They hired people to go back to Koresh, and they sent word to stop building the Beit HaMikdash. And after Koresh, the king was Ahasuerus. In other sources, it seems that Koresh stopped the building. In the text over here, it says that Ahasuerus received the letter that said to him, "Be careful, the Jews are preparing a rebellion against you." The question is always, when it says Ahasuerus, is that our Ahasuerus, or Was it the Koresh that we just read about? So, at any rate, the verse over here says that in the days of Ahasuerus, when he took the throne, they sent him a letter and they warned him that the people of Israel are preparing a rebellion against you by rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. You have to stop. And the king sends them word, no way you guys are rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. And so the Jews who had gone up to Israel in order to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash find themselves living there without their goal being accomplished. And they're going to have to stay and wait for the next 16 years. 16 years until they will be allowed to build the Beit HaMikdash again. Ahasuerus will die. His son will take the throne, as we will see later on in the book. And we have the prophecy of Haggai and Zechariah, and they comfort the people. They tell them it's still coming. And at that time, so Zerubbabel and Yehoshua, they have to stop the building. And they're going to send word back to the king. They're going to try to look for an angle to allow them to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. So we're going to skip forward. Let's see. Skip too much. Okay, so they come to celebrate Pesach, and we need one more story in Ezra before we move on to Nehemiah. The people come to Ezra and they tell him, we have a problem. We've intermarried. And everyone here is married into non-Jews. And what? No, in Israel. As we continue, so the Navi tells us, Achara devarim ha'ele, Ezra ascends to Eretz Israel. And what Ezra does in order to ascend is he goes and asks people, you want to come with me? Remember, the Jews had already ascended. This is the second ascent into Israel. And Ezra asks them, who wants to come? And no one wants to leave Baba. Whoever didn't go with the first Aliyah doesn't want to come. So Ezra starts threatening them. Ezra says, I know secrets about each one's families here. And if you don't come with me, I'm going to reveal them. So Ezra goes family by family to those families that he knew their secrets, their problematic histories. And using that information, he cajoles many people to come with him in his ascent from Babylon to Israel, meaning the good families remained in Babylon. What ends up happening is that only the problematic people, the people who had married bastards or slaves in their family, or people who were problematic, people who had married a person they were not allowed to, those were the people who, Ezra says, if you don't come, I'm spilling the beans. I'm telling everyone, no one's going to marry you here. Your only chance at building a family and moving forward is coming with me. And using this threat, he gets a lot of people. There were a lot of people who had these problematic histories in their family. And he had always kept quiet. He had never said anything. Now they have a mitzvah to go up to build the Beit HaMikdash. Hashem is prepared to split the sea for us. All the miracles that happened in the first ascent are supposed to happen now. But the Jewish people aren't interested. They're having a good time in Chutz Aretz. They're not interested in going. So Ezra uses that force, the force of knowledge, that threat, to force people to come with him. And we'll pick up here, Bezant Shem, next time with what actually happens when Ezra comes to Israel.